Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. It's a bonus episode this week, and you could have heard it way sooner if you would just subscribe over at the brand new gasdigital.com website that just went up. And when you subscribe, not only will you get bonus episodes like this of our movie podcast, you'll also get episodes early like Dave Lombardo, Brandon Boyd, Brian Fair from Shadows Fall. And we got a bunch of great podcasts coming up ahead of the Milwaukee Metal Fest, which is returning May 25th through the 28th. Get your tickets at therave.com/metalfest. Everybody, I want to see everybody come up from Chicago, everybody come down from Minneapolis. It's going to be a lot of fun. Who knows? Maybe we'll even do a live How Awesome Is This there. We'll see. Want to thank our sponsors, CenturyMedia.store. Make sure you check out the new Unearth, the new Jesus piece, the new Frozen Soul is a banger. Glacial Domination, that's coming out May 19th. No promo code needed, just CenturyMedia.store. Also, thank you to our new sponsor, Metal Blade. Metal Blade Records, you know them, you love them. And they have a ton of great releases out currently, like the new Goat Whore, the new Cattle Decapitation, which you can both check out at metalblade.com/goatwhore or metalblade.com/cattledecapitation. And make sure you pre-order the new Death Ray Vision. That's coming out June 30th. Big shout out to Mike D and the boys. The record sounds killer. Check out the new single, Behead the King, and watch the video now at metalblade.com/deathrayvision. And I got to give a big shout out to Sam Nuri, who are playing our Metal Fest pre-party. They have a new record coming out on monarchheavy.com, another one of our festival and podcast sponsors. Love monarchheavy.com. You know them from putting out great records like Black Label and Crowbar. And now they got the new Creeping Death, which you can pre-order and save 15% on at monarchheavy.com. Just use the promo code 666 and the new Sam Nuri Desiderium album. Also, meet and greets for Milwaukee Metal Fest and new Hatebreed merch, new Josta merch, new Milwaukee Metal Fest merch is available at martyrstore.net. Plus, we have meet and greets, and we have some flags, some Milwaukee Metal Fest flags we just got. They look awesome, 4x4 flags.
Fly that outside of your house.
Hell yeah. I got to get the bands taking them with it, too. Taking pictures with them, you know, during the meet and greets and stuff, have everybody wave the flags. Also, want to thank, let's see, IndieMerchStore.com. Our biggest, best sponsor and our biggest vendor this year. One of the biggest tents you'll see over there. Probably two booths. IndieMerchStore.com, promo code JOSTA10. And right now, you'll see all the great deals they have. You'll save 10%, but you'll also get a bunch of merchandise you can't get anywhere else. And I just love IndieMerchStore.com. I can't thank them enough. I want to support a great company. And I want to support all the bands that they have restocks on and pre-orders for. IndieMerchStore.com, promo code JOSTA10. All right, everybody, enjoy this episode of the How Awesome Is This podcast. We're watching JCVD's classic action sci-fi thriller.
This shit is wild.
This for $3 million budget or whatever it was, loved it. Now on to the show.
How awesome, how awesome, how awesome is this podcast?
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. This is episode 34 of the How Awesome Is This podcast. On today's episode, we watched the 1989 action sci-fi classic starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, the one and only Cyborg. One of the greatest films ever made for $500,000. We have Charlie Belmore, Howard Jones, and Brian McKay in the house.
What's up, slingers?
Wait, this was $500,000?
Yeah.
Seems like a lot.
Well, I will say, I don't know if anybody read about this. I did, because I was like, what is this? What is happening here? And it was, the director was supposed to be directing a Spider-Man movie and a Masters of the Universe 2 simultaneously for Canon Films. And then they lost both licenses like on a Thursday. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because they had already built $2 million worth of sets and costumes for both movies. Wow. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, this guy just listened to Def Leppard, and I'm going to assume did a lot of cocaine and just wrote this entire movie. And just said, how do we use this New York set and then this apocalyptic set and make a new movie? And It was this.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's
I could see that because
all the bad guys were hired already as actors to be He-Man's boys in the second He-Man movie, and they're all wearing their costumes from Masters of the Universe 2.
Look like it.
That's amazing.
You guys want to watch the
Fender. Yeah, let's watch the trailer.
Absolutely.
All right. You mean Fender Tremolo?
The names.
Welcome to the world of the not too distant future.
Exactly like now.
A brutal gang is reshaping the world into their
how brutal they are.
Of hell. And only one man can stop them. Jean-Claude Van Damme is leading the battle between good and evil.
Take him out.
As it's never been fought before.
This is better music than the movie.
We gotta talk about that soundtrack.
To rescue a cyborg who holds the secret for saving the world.
Why did you help me?
I don't want to see it die.
From the dust of destruction.
So wait, no cyborg, no Walking Dead, right? Because they have to get to Atlanta to get to the secret.
Say goodbye, my friend.
Jean-Claude Van Damme has become the first hero of the 21st century.
What? Did you see him kill D?
Cyborg.
This was so good. This movie.
Oh, I adored it. I will watch it. I will watch it often. I will say the funniest part is, you know, we're obviously all musicians and they have the most ridiculous musician names, music instrument based names in this movie.
Yes.
Fender Tremolo and Gibson Rickenbacker and Marshall Stratt. And I think Nady Simmons, because of Simmons Kit.
That's so funny, and dude.
One of the girls' names is Pearl.
Yeah.
As in the drum set. And I'm like,
it's Pearl Prophet. Prophet is in the keyboard.
Oh.
Like the whole thing. But then the best part is not one person mentions anybody's name the entire movie. like
there's no.
Like one time where the chick is like, hey, Gibbs. And then like one or two of them just mention Fender. That's it. They just say the first name, Fender. And you're just like, come on, how do you have great names like that? And then we don't even get to hear them like uttered, like Rickenbacker. Like, come on. I was waiting for that the entire time.
Seriously, it's like you spent all that time putting these names that do not fit human beings on.
You spent a whole 48 hours writing the script, and you could have put more work into it in those 48 hours.
No. Here's how I imagine it going down. The fucking director, the movie's about to go to the theaters, and the director gets a call on like a landline on fucking Hollywood Boulevard, and the dude is like in some office, and they're like, dude, we have no credits. Like, what are the characters' names?
And he's all no, the guy cool who called stuff. Him, hey, it's me, Billy Whammy Bar.
He's all coked up. He probably goes out onto the strip, sees some chick. They go into fucking Sam Ash on a or something. I mean, why else would they have these as the names and they don't appear in the movie? Were they just desperate to have names appear in the credits?
The stuff that I read is that this was planned, which is insane, is it was planned as a rock opera.
What?
And the entire movie was supposed to be black and white and like 80s metal or like, you know, 80s rock, because they kept saying Def Leppard and all the stuff I read was just supposed to be playing above like the dialogue the entire time. And they screened it like that, black and white with just heavy metal playing. Everybody hated it. So then they brought one of the greatest film editors in the history of film, Jean-Claude Van Damme, to make a cut. And then this is that. This is the movie that we see. We see Jean-Claude Van Damme's cut.
Oh my God! Because yeah, I saw that where he was writing the script. Albert Pion is his name. He was writing the script. Originally, it was titled Slinger. I did see that. That
I will say it should still be titled Slinger because the cyborg's in it for about 3 minutes.
I don't know why it's called Cyborg. It makes no sense.
I didn't remember the movie, but did you guys assume, like, when it started, like, oh yeah, obviously Jean-Claude Van Damme is a cyborg? Because
I for sure got this movie confused with Universal Soldier.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm just like, wait. There's a cyborg that needs protecting? What?
And somewhere in the database or the mainframe or somewhere within the cyborg is the cure for the plague, right?
That we don't really see, and nobody seems to be bothered by at all.
Quick question.
Just saw one girl.
Why is she a cyborg? Second question, why are there cyborgs?
None of it matters as long as JCVD is kicking people in the face, stabbing people, swinging on a pipe, not even a rope. How do you swing on a pipe? It makes no sense.
He definitely did.
There is a bad guy in chainmail. This movie is already a B plus. Yo. The moment you see the chainmail, I'm like, all right, we're already at a B. Like, look, it can only get better from here.
The bad guy, he's a mix of three things. He's Goro from Mortal Kombat, he's Roman Reigns, and he's Scott Steiner. He's all three of those, and somebody else is doing his voice.
You know what? To me, it felt like you ever watched Seinfeld? You know the episode where they go to the parade, and the guy's like, why'd you know wearing your pin? You know, like...
Yes.
I felt like the bad guy was that guy just, like, on roid rage.
they wanted this movie to be starred by... to star Chuck Norris. Oh, and
makes sense.
They couldn't get him, and then because of the success of Bloodsport, they just took advantage of JCVD, who, by the way, you know, his stamp is all over this movie. When they rewrote it to tailor it, you know, to Jean-Claude Van Damme. I mean, his ego, literally, he gets crucified in this. I could just picture the script meeting. Where, and we'll get to that part, but where he's like, but how are you going to get down? Like, we have to write in. He's like, that's just myself. The thing. I'm going to kick the wood. I'm going to kick the wood so hard that I'm going to de-crucify myself. I'm going to fucking escape.
That was only Jesus was hard like me.
I literally wrote, Gene, that's not how crucifixions work.
Dude,
you don't get movie, stronger as the crucifixion goes on. What?
VDJC is real, bro.
VDJC.
Yeah.
So apparently, Jean-Claude Van Damme took a guy's eye in this movie for real.
What? Right. Wasn't that why they got sued and why they got under?
I looked into it further. And that guy didn't sue until 1993 when Universal Soldier was a hit.
Well, because he knew how much money this movie made.
He directly sued JCVD. Doesn't sound like he sued the company. Like, it sounds very odd.
Wow. Did he win?
That dude made the budget of the movie, $500,000.
Yeah, he got paid $500,000. But
to lose an eye?
One thing I really loved was the lighting in this movie, which I think was just sponsored by daylight. not even a flashlight was being used.
But hold on, let's back it up. We have to start about with the introduction and talk about Fender just as one of the greatest shittiest bad guys in film history. I mean, people bad guys aspire to be this bad, right? Like you don't just cut a guy's head off. You cut it off and you walk around with it.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
So I love the entire beginning because like the runtime of this movie gets to, it's 1:26. And the entire beginning is just slow motion. And I'm like, this entire intro is slow motion. So you guys could try to get to 90 minutes.
And also in the very beginning, why is the bad guy narrating and then it's done? It's never doing it again.
It was very odd.
It's this movie is disjointed in every way and it's amazing.
Oh yeah,
because JCVD edited the film. Like I guess it was screening and it wasn't going over well. So Albert Pyun's version is not what we're seeing. I mean, somebody needs the Blu-ray of this. We need to see the director's cut. Yeah, so we can compare.
He released it in the mid 2000s. I saw
you know
the director's cut or the Blu-ray with the commentary.
The director's cut in like 2010 or something like that, I think.
Oh, so there's unedited portions that were missing. Darn.
I mean, I'm assuming to go along with every other JCVD movie we've ever seen, there's got to be at least a 9-minute explanation of why he has that accent but lives in America, because every other movie they're like, well, you know, when you were 9 you moved here, and it's like, oh, you care, stop it.
I don't think
there's always an overblown exposition.
Dude, the best is Alex Daniel's character is named Marshall Stratt.
Yes. We're never going to go anywhere because the movie's so ridiculous. I love just right off the bat when the unexplained, hardly edited flashbacks start happening. JCVD's wig is better than Billy Zane's last week. Holy shit. I was like, what is this, Ninja Gaiden or some shit? Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, this is fucking hair.
I like how we didn't learn till 3/4 of the way through the movie that he already had a previous beef with this guy, and it was super deep. Three quarters of the way through the movie.
What about the fact that he murdered the daughter, his whole family?
They introduced the daughter at the same time they introduced the betrayal, and you're like, what the fuck? Why didn't we see her more, like, in flashbacks? So odd.
Because.
Was that just to show what you, if you didn't think Fender was the shittiest ever, then they're like, oh wait, no, he's going to lower you into a well and he's going to wrap you with barbed wire. And if that's not bad enough, he's going to make the girl, the sister, hold an entire family in her hands.
And then after they plummeted her death, he will just basically rape her until she loves him like Mike Tyson. And, you know, I mean, what an insane premise. He's a weird bad guy, but it's like all the ideas to be a bad guy are there, but it's just executed so oddly. You're like, I want to see more of the bad guy do bad stuff.
You know what I wanted to see more of was him walking in the sand. I don't know if it was a random moment, and I'm sure nobody
showed every single walk. Because
it was amazing. But I was just watching him walk, and I'm like, camera's been on him for a while showing this weird walk.
I laughed several times during this movie, and one of the laughs was Fender gets on a boat to go to the CDC with the cyborg, who is completely unimportant to the movie, basically, apparently, at least that's what the movie tells us. And they're on a boat and it looks like it's like day and then night and then day and then night. And then JCVD mortally wounds a woman and then she's fine. And then they walk a day and a night. And then JCVD is just on a beach and he just puts up binoculars and he's like, oh, I found them. And you're like, you walked from New York to Atlanta and you beat them there.
Made no sense. Okay. And not to mention, walk from New York to there. Where is there? Where are they? No, no. They had to take a boat to get to Atlanta. So they're outside of Atlanta, you know, where there's water. Where are they?
Somewhere.
I'm going to say like Savannah or actually Savannah on the coast or no, because that's further east.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. I literally wrote that six times. Where are they?
I think it was like three times. I believe the girl got like mortally wounded and was fine. And then twice, because after he gets strung up at the end, like the whole gang leaves. And then it seems like the next day he gets free. And then they still beat them to the CDC. Like Jean-Claude Van Damme is the fastest runner in the world, apparently, because. Or he has a hidden like motorcycle that we don't see.
Forget the fast running. Can we talk about the fact that he got shot in the arm and nothing?
Nothing.
Yep. Didn't change a thing. You didn't see the wound, nothing. He got crucified. Where are the holes in his wrist?
No blood.
Never again. This movie is awesome.
When he meets the chick right in the beginning, like he spins around and he just throws a knife into her chest and she just collapses. And then the next scene is better. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Speaking of getting stabbed in your chest and being better immediately, the bad guy at the end gets essentially bisected and he just like pops up right behind him and he's just like,
That final fight scene of them, first of all, the lead up where they were like, look, we don't have enough running time, so you guys just flex at each other for a full minute. That I was like, I had walked out of the room and I thought I hit pause because I came back in the room and I'm like, wait, they're still flexing at each other? And it wasn't on pause.
I did like that Fender's fighting style was mostly flexing and yelling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Quick interruption. Letting you know today's episode is brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com, your one stop shop for all things metal, music, and who knows? Maybe they even got some movie. Do they have movie merch at IndieMerchStore.com? If they don't, they should. Why not?
We could probably get some trauma gear on there for them.
Oh yeah, call up Lloyd and the trauma crew. Trauma crew. What is it? Trauma. You say trauma.
Trauma. Tomato. Tomato.
Check out the new Humanity's Last Breath album, Ashen, which is coming out on Unique Leader Records August 4th. I played those guys on my Patreon show. People loved it, but also you'll see they have a ton of restocks. Bands like Cryptopsy, Carnifex, and many others. You know they got that Shadow of Intent. They got that Thy Art Is Murder. They even got Iron Maiden restocks, tons of vinyl. We love IndieMerchStore.com. I got to get that Cryptopsy None So Vile hat. That thing looks sick. All right, IndieMerchStore.com, promo code JOSTA10. While I have you, please support our other sponsor for today's episode, MetalBladeRecords.com. They have a great new album coming out June 30th by the band Death Ray Vision, who features members of Overcast, Killswitch Engage, and new vocalist Keith Bennett, who's actually doing a great job. You know, when a band gets a new singer, sometimes I give a little skeptical side eye.
Sometimes you got to be like, I'll wait for it.
Because it's singer number three, you know, and he had big shoes to fill because I like Jeff and I like Brian, but man, this guy's killing it. And it sounds great. You can go listen to the new single and watch the new video over at metalblade.com/deathrayvision. I already got my copy pre-ordered and you should too. Big thanks to Metal Blade Records, and make sure you go to Milwaukee Metal Fest Saturday, May 27th and meet their founder, Brian Slagle, and get a copy of his new book. Get it signed by the man himself. Big thanks to Brian and the whole Metal Blade crew. Now back to the show. I wish I was like, why didn't I have toys? Like, from this movie growing up, like Fender sold, like, come on, bro, I'm sold. Why didn't they, somebody look up if there's JCVD Cyborg toys there, the marketing, wow. Like this was so this was so thrown together, and you could just tell these guys were just flying by the seat of their pants, trying to just make a movie happen. And the fact that it made $10 million at the box office and just kept ramping up JCVD's star is incredible. But like, imagine if they actually tried, because the premise is pretty good. And if you think about like a buddy sort of journey movie, JCVD with a fucking cyborg has the potential to be hilarious. I mean, there could have been more comedy. I mean, just imagine the one-liners he could have done. Like, this had no one-liners. No.
Yeah, it's like, they wrote it all in a weekend. They didn't have to film it all in that weekend.
Also, how amazing, guys, how amazing was the claymation? Holy fuck. When she took the back of her head off,
mind blown.
When Fender walks in and he's like threatening her, like her eyes were like the biggest eyes in the world, and you know they were like, that looks great.
Like, wait a minute, she looks like a pale praying mantis. Why are you good with this?
Oh, you ever see the Sophia bot? That's what she looked like almost.
No,
I'll pull up a picture.
So, but she doesn't have GPS, obviously, right? So, like, the cyborg, you would think, would have GPS.
No, they're just going. Oh yeah, it does kind of look like that. Just like a worse version.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
They definitely were just like, everybody just knew how to get to Atlanta from New York. Like, that was just a common thing in the desperate hellscape during a plague, which again. Nobody's like, all right, on our walk down to Atlanta for the afternoon, you know, make sure you don't go in near anybody because they might have the plague. There's just, once they leave New York, there's like basically no discussion of the plague ever again. Like, I don't understand.
Although you
they're over it at that point.
That one lady is just full of the pox. Like,
yeah, right in the beginning.
Yeah. Where she's like, this lady doesn't matter to you. You need to go save that girl. I like his attitude in the beginning of the movie where he's just like, you gotta save her.
Well,
silly girl.
I thought,
yeah, he's over it the whole time.
I thought it was wild when she, like, they have that, like, that mid movie fight in that, like, you know, abandoned factory kind of deal. And they go into the abandoned factory. He gets everybody away from the cyborg, and then he tells the cyborg, come on. And she's like, no, I'm good. Because you're not strong enough to kill him, but we have stuff at the CDC that'll kill him. So don't worry. You don't have to follow us. We'll be fine. Yeah. I'm like, why would you add this in the movie? It makes it seem like what JCVD is doing isn't even needed.
You know what? A lot of things that he does isn't needed. But something that I find hilarious.
Wait. I have to push back against that. So you're trying to tell me doing a split above a guy where he can't hear him above him and stabbing him in the brain was not needed?
I was like,
fuck yeah. I was cheering at that part. I didn't even remember that part from being a kid.
6 feet above that dude's head, and then he didn't jump down. He just kind of
he could just reach down. How did he even reach? That was like swinging from a pipe that was magically had the physics of a rope.
It was unbelievable. It was incredible.
Truly unbelievable.
This movie proves just how bonkers that whole Canon Films crew was, and how great JCVD was, not just at like staying in shape and taking like the action sequences like seriously, and also putting his silliness in, which at the time was his like brand, right? It was his calling card. But when you watch this against any Seagal movie, even the bigger budget Seagal movies, there's no comparison. Like JCVD embarrasses Seagal any day of the week.
When you, this is early in his career, and like I wrote down, like somewhere in the beginning, just like when he pops on the screen, he hasn't even said anything. And you're like, well, that guy's a star. Like, I don't know who he is, but he's a star. Because he's immediately charismatic, and he just looks like a goddamn star. And it's just not the case with other people. Like, there's a reason he's where he is.
Yeah, I don't even feel like Chuck Norris had heat like this. Like, I felt like Chuck's time had already passed. They were talking about JCVD taking like the Delta Force sequel role, and he chose this instead. This was way better. Like, he shouldn't. His first four, you really can't fuck with. You could even say the first five, right? Because
what are the first five?
I mean, you got Bloodsport, this, Kickboxer, Time Cop. And what's the other one which we watched?
It's pretty fucking good.
Dude. He, like...
Those are the first four? Jesus.
I think. Don't quote me on that. I don't have it pulled up. Time Cop alone destroys the whole fucking Seagal catalog, filmography.
Yeah, oh,
he was, he was in a couple of things before he was... he was the main character. He was in Woman Between Wolf and Dog, Monica Forever.
None of that shit counts. We don't count that.
Okay, so his first leading role, he played the bad guy in No Retreat, No Surrender in 1986. But then Bloodsport.
But think about 1990 alone was Lionheart, Death Warrant.
Yeah, for real.
91, 92. This is pre-Time Cop. 91, 92.
Cyborg and Kickboxer.
Yeah.
He was doing two bangers a year for, well, for those 2 years. And then what? Double Impact? Not the worst movie.
Universal Soldier, Last Action Hero, Hard Target, then Time Cop. That's when Time Cop was the end, right? Because then he did Street Fighter, which was whack. Sudden Death, Sudden Death, I'll watch for this podcast in a heartbeat. I'm all about
Is Sudden Death the hockey one?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I'd watch that. Yeah.
They were like, we need to stop like with the exposition, explaining the accent. Let's just put them in to hockey. Then it makes sense. French Canadian. Right.
I just love like, he's the only guy that needs the explanation. Every single other one, you're just like, oh yeah. Why is this large Austrian man, you know, just somewhere in America named Bill, you know, every Arnold movie, like they're not like, so when did you move here from Austria, Bob? Like, it just, we just believe it. Like, just let us believe it. It's fine.
So like, Sudden Death definitely seems like a movie for this show for sure.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember like one joke in it, but that's about all I remember.
Here it is right in the first line of the plot description. Darren McCord is a French Canadian born firefighter. For the Pittsburgh Bureau of Fire. French Canadian. Bam. There it is.
How I felt that the flashbacks were like PTSD level flashbacks. There was no explanation. All of a sudden, it would just be in the middle of a scene, and then we're just somewhere else.
You ever see
like, you were no music, no fade, no nothing.
You ever see You Were Never Really Here?
No.
It's Joaquin Phoenix plays like a wacko serial.
Oh killer. No, I know that. Yeah.
Like, that's what it reminded me of, those flashback scenes. Like, the flashback scenes in that movie. I was like, this is fucking out of context for everything else.
I wrote, I think, three times. Like, I was like, wait, I thought that girl had a Southern accent. Because I was just, all of a sudden, there's a kid there with a woman with a Southern accent. And then he stabs a woman. And then the next minute, there's no kid. And there's no Southern accent. And I'm like, what the fuck happened to that kid?
Well, he stabbed the accent out of her.
And then they're in a farm and she has an accent and I'm like, and then I go, oh, it's another person. when he just showed up with different hair, I was so openly confused. I was like, wait, what? I had to audibly say what, because I did not know what happened.
Even in a post-apocalyptic nightmare wasteland, Jean-Claude Van Damme still manages to pimp out three chicks this movie.
Yeah, like literally one girl he almost killed, and a day later after he threw a knife through her chest, and then they walked from New York to Georgia, and she was fine with no wound. She then just started taking her top off. Like, hey, let's let's get to business.
It's like, yeah. Oh, there's water. Let's go jump in and be completely naked for some reason.
It's way before Manscaped.
Yeah. Did you know Klin, Victor Klin, is that his name? Yeah, the guy who, Vincent Klin, the guy who played Fender Tremolo opposite Jean-Claude Van Damme. He was also in Point Break.
Yes.
He has a bit part, right? He goes against Swayze and Keanu.
Is he War Child? Back off, War Child? I think he's War Child.
Might be, right? Because he was a surfer. Because
he was with Anthony Kiedis.
I'm pretty sure he's
War Child.
Yeah, I think you're right, because he was born in New Zealand and his family relocated to Hawaii.
Vincent Klin, yeah.
Holy crap.
He was like a surfing prodigy. He was a star in a really young age, that guy.
The guy that was...
It would explain his acting prowess.
Yeah.
Well, I also
Come on, dude.
Did you notice that for like one line he was Australian?
Yes, I did not.
Right before they got on the boat, he just was Australian. He's like, "All right, mates," and you're like, and then it just went away.
The Kiwi coming out.
Okay, I guess we don't have that anymore.
That was Kiwi coming out.
I assumed he was just.
By the way, there was one
culture.
Where is it? Oh, I wrote it down. Somebody said something about going to Atlanta, and he just goes, "You think I'm gonna swim to Atlanta, asshole? I hate the water."
Yes.
Why is that in the movie?
I even wrote down, like, is this foreshadowing? Because this sure seems like foreshadowing. No, yeah. It wasn't.
Is this like Indiana Jones and I hate snakes? Like, are we going to go back to water and they're going to hide in water later? Nope.
Maybe it's an inside joke for the surfing guy. I don't know.
No, yeah, I think it was they were going to reveal that he was a cyborg, but then they didn't have it in the budget. Or something, because I thought maybe they were going to do that with JCVD, like when he got shot. Like, oh, maybe they'll reveal at the end that he's a hybrid, and he's going to...
Nah, he's just fine.
In Universal Soldier, am I mistaken that the cyborgs in Universal Soldier have pale blue eyes? Is that a thing, or is that from another, like,
cyborg I don't know.
Metahuman
no.
movie?
No,
they were probably just on sale at 1-800 contacts.
Wow,
I see a lot of movies, dude. But that's one of the reasons why I thought it was that. I was just like, we got like superhuman dude. They never explain why he has like obvious vampire contacts in, right? It's just like,
oh no, those are his real eyes.
Yeah.
That's
of course they are.
They were just like, okay, we're going to use this as many times as we can. So walk up to the camera and slowly take your thing. Because we can't do it once because we need the runtime. So take your glasses off at least 71 times.
Yep. Because later on in the movie, they'll have forgotten that your eyes are available.
I loved when they show that entire scene when Jean-Claude Van Damme and the Southern woman, they allude to like sex. And then they're like sleeping, and all the pirates are just like leaning out a window watching them sleep.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, totally watching them sleep. Also, right around the time of like sleep, or I can't remember if it was that scene or one before, a wolf howled.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
Yes, there was a wolf howl, and I'm like, are there wolves close to Atlanta?
To Charleston, South Carolina.
So confused.
What I don't get is, what I'm surprised is that Cyborg rarely makes the people's like top lists for JCVD movies. And I was surprised because I thought for sure we've watched Death Warrant for this podcast, but that's like that one is high up. Did we not watch Death Warrant?
Which one's Death Warrant?
I don't know if we have.
That's the one where he goes undercover on assignment in a prison to investigate like these murderers,
and he discovered, dude, it's, see, he predicts the future with a lot of his movies, because that ended up becoming a thing, like where we started hearing about people getting killed for their organs, like the black market organ trade.
Yeah.
That's what that movie's about, from 1990. And this is about a plague that.
Well, I wouldn't say it's.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is a soothsayer now.
Yeah.
Nostradamus.
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 I feel like he would have not taken Street Fighter if he was able to see the future.
Yeah, probably right. But if you were going to go top 5, Double Impact's got to be in the top 5. No, like I put Cyborg. No, you know what? I'm going to put this Cyborg at 4, Double Impact at 5. But then 3, I would say, is Kickboxer. 2 is Lionheart. And 1 is Bloodsport. That's just me. You could probably convince me to put Double Impact in there, or you could convince me to put.
Time Cop is always number 1 for me.
Forgetting the impact of Dennis Rodman on?
Oh my God, the Dennis Rodman movie. Oh,
what movie is that?
Hard Target. No, right? No, we watched Hard Target.
No, Double Team. It's not,
yeah, there you go. Double I was team. Thinking that's it.
Oh my God, is that our next one? Are we gonna have to watch Double Team? Man.
I want to watch. You disappeared for a sec, Howard, but yep. Jossa suggested Sudden Death, which was a fine movie.
Sudden Death.
Double Team, I would be pumped for. I know I would be angry about 20 minutes in.
Jamie would come in like, fuck this. We're never doing this show again.
You know, I think I got to change mine. I think Time Cop would be my number 4, and this would be my number 5. And that, it's hard, because then I'd have to move one to number 6. Yeah, no, it's hard. See, this is why I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm going to say, although none of these can touch Terminator or Terminator 2, JCVD is like Schwarzenegger level in my mind.
Schwarzenegger was better at dialogue, surprisingly enough.
Yes.
You know?
Basically, yeah, whenever they hired JCVD for a role, they were like, okay, so they've got a lot of dialogue. We're going to take that out. We just want you to stare and mumble occasionally.
Yeah. And instead of saying smile. That, what if you did the splits?
Yeah.
Well,
instead of saying it, think it, and we're going to zoom in.
He got his split scene, and he got his 360 spin kicks in this movie.
That he did.
I didn't
see him punch anyone in the gonads, though.
I'm pretty sure his only move in this movie is a roundhouse kick.
he yells too, right? He yells while he's like, while his face, he yells in slow motion while his face is like shaking. Which Arnold does very well.
Charlie, but back to what you said real quick. He spin kicks a guy in the face, picks him up to spin kick him in the face again.
That's amazing. Yeah.
He could do
the yell and the shape that reminds Bloodsport. That he did it there first. And it's one of those things. It's kind of like the kick. It's stuck around.
I liked how his knife on his boot was just like a shitty nail. it's like they couldn't, because if he had a blade, they could have, like, he could have been decapitating people, and instead he was just like, you know, quote unquote slitting people's throats, and you're like, I don't even know if that would work.
So in that last fight scene in the movie, when he like shows up 100% refreshed after being punch drunk for the last hour and 20 minutes, why does he bite his knife?
He bites it, then he stops, then he goes back and bites it again.
It's so crazy to me. At first I thought he was gonna lick the blade, but then I was like, he hasn't killed anybody with it yet, and that's
he just bit it.
And there's also a plague, you probably shouldn't be doing that, but
Also, you were just crucified. Yeah. How are you doing this?
What? And when he was done being crucified, I was hoping he was just going to spin kick the cross on the ground or whatever it was, a mass. Like,
he
just
kicked
insult.
Himself off the cross. He had arrows in his wrist. They healed. This man is Jesus Christ.
No, he so seriously funny, yeah, he defies all logic in this movie, and I
he
don't
is Kung
care.
Fu Jesus. That's just
no,
all
he really is. He really is. And if you, it doesn't matter how many bills you have to pay. It doesn't matter if someone you love is in the hospital or you just fucking got fired from a job or your favorite band broke up. If you can watch Jean-Claude Van Damme kick people in the face, there's something, or rather pretend to kick people in the face. There is something so satisfying.
Oh, no, he's notoriously known for kicking people in the face on set.
Yeah, he wasn't good at pulling his punches, so he was kicking a lot of people in the faces.
He's like, yes. What do you mean? We're not competitively fucking karate fighting right now? Like,
I told one of my friends that I was watching this movie. I watched it yesterday, and I was like, this fucking movie is insane. He's like, I don't even know if I've ever seen it. And then at like 9 o'clock at night, he just texts me. So I'm 20 minutes away from finishing Cyborg. And I'm like, why didn't you watch it? And he goes, I'll be honest with you. I saw Avatar 2 yesterday. This is infinitely better. he goes, this story makes more sense than Avatar 2. And I was like, well,
oh, man.
I mean, listen, if a guy lowers you, your girl, and your kid into a fucking well for reasons unknown,
and then steals
with
your
barbed wire. Wash,
grape her.
With barbed wire, no less.
And then doesn't recognize you at all for the entirety of your dealings with him after you see him again, until he looks at the woman who he stole necklace and he's like,
huh? And she realizes it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only that, but he looks like he hasn't aged a day.
Yeah.
Also, is Fender autistic? Because he just makes weird noises and he just grunts and walks around.
He's French Canadian.
I feel like they were trying to say that he had some sort of part of the plague or something. That's what, like, I feel like they were trying to say something, but they just were just like, yeah, we don't have time to film it. Fuck it.
Did you notice that all the bad guys, they all had the yellow teeth? All their teeth were rotten or nasty. Yeah. That's how you knew they were the bad guys.
However, did you notice the continuity with their, when in the flashbacks, the main bad guy's teeth were only slightly fucked up, whereas
I didn't catch that,
like rotting out of his head. I was like, there's no way they did this, but I was like, how did they get that much detail for this one little thing? And then just the rest of the movie.
I will say I loved that the majority of the movie just looked like a heavy metal video. Like, if during the end battle, all of a sudden the camera just panned and like Megadeth was plugging in, and like, you know, and you'd be like, oh, that makes sense. Like, they're gonna be using this set later.
Oh well, he was definitely doing the splits up on the top of the ceiling, waiting to kill 1984 Dee Snider.
That's so funny. That dude was Conan in the TV series, I believe.
Yeah, Ralph Moeller, yeah. And they had to dub all his lines because his German accent was too thick.
Everybody was dubbed.
Like,
they didn't bring a microphone to that fucking set. Like, it was
Terry Batson re-recorded all of her lines in the movie without altering it.
I think the only thing they brought to a set was a fucking Casio keyboard for that ripping soundtrack.
Oh my gosh, that was rough. That was rough.
That was the only thing I didn't understand. I'm like, rough. this sounds like a made for TV like cautionary tale about drugs. Like, why is this the worst soundtrack I've ever heard in my life? Like, I don't understand. I think they were trying to make it sound like the first Terminator soundtrack with the creepy, like the creepy simple keyboard, but
It sounded more like a knockoff Super Mario Brothers.
Dude, you know, Chimera used Fender talking about death and starvation in the beginning. Like, they used that before their song Resurrection.
Let's see. I saw somebody else used that speech
Method
too.
Man. Hold on. I'm going to look that up, but I'm pretty
sure. I think there was another, there was like a death metal band or something prior to it too, because I saw there was like multiple uses of that intro speech.
All I know is that we need Albert Pion's prequel, Rise of the Slingers. We need that.
Like, wow. That.
It's just going to start out as like a gang of people beating up crackheads and then just time lapse to the.
I did love, like, right in the beginning, Marshall Stratt says, quick, find a slinger. And they just like, and then he gets killed. And then the next time you see, like, the cyborg.
Oh my God! Did I really just catch Guitar Slinger? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Slinger.
Oh man!
I gotta say, rest in peace, Albert Pion, because he died last year, unfortunately. So we're not getting the prequel, and we're not getting Cyborg Nemesis, The Dark Rift. Although there was two subsequent films, right? Cyborg 2.
With Angelina Jolie, and the lead character's name was Colt 45.
No, stop it.
Yes, that's what I saw.
Unbelievable.
Hey, everybody, just a quick interruption. Letting you know today's episode is brought to you by CenturyMedia.store, a great site to go to if you like it hard. They got the new Unearth, which is just crushing.
I've been listening to it on repeat, dude.
Dude, they're going to Unearth might be the comeback of the year, especially closing out the Sunday side stage at Milwaukee Metal Fest. No barricade.
It's wild, dude.
It's going to be bonkers. I can't wait. And also, you can pre-order the new Jesus piece. You can also, you know, I love Based or Beast or however you say it. You know, we played with them, with those guys in Denmark. And then also Demolition Hammers got reissues. Tortured Existence and Epidemic of Violence. Classic. Century Media right there putting out that. Those classic records, love it. Go to centurymedia.store, no promo code needed. While I have you, big thank you to monarchheavy.com for sponsoring today's show. If you love heavy music, then you're going to love going to monarchheavy.com and using promo code 666 and saving 15% off releases from Crowbar, Black Label Society. The new Creeping Death is coming out. You want to pre-order that now? Also get the new Somnuri album and come check them out. Opening for Josta and Friends. That's right. Yours truly, Yotuma. And I'm going to have a ton of guests at the Milwaukee Metal Fest pre-party May 25th at the Rave Bar. So get your tickets at therave.com/metalfest and then go pre-order the new Somnuri album, Desiderium, at monarchheavy.com and use the promo code 666. Now back to the show.
By the way, can we touch on the fact that they used these names? And I don't think there was any live instrumentation.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like a rock soundtrack, really.
No.
Dude, there's no riffs.
That's what he wants.
Zero riffs. All names, no riffs.
All the director did, he just wanted hard rock music. And they were like, no, we don't like it.
So he's like, I'll show you.
It was apparently his idea was just black and white with rock, with like rock and heavy metal music playing over the entire movie, which
very artsy.
Seems very odd.
Yeah.
What would you say the body count was in this, if you had to guess?
Probably not a lot. Probably 10 or 11 or something. Like, there wasn't a lot of people in it.
Right. Yeah. I feel like you kept seeing the same people after they were maybe killed.
There was definitely somebody got used. He was twice. There was, I think there was a couple people, but I know one specifically. I'm like, oh, I've seen you before.
The girl is the same girl when she's lowering the family into the well. Then she's just the same girl at the end. I was like, what?
When they had that fucking middle fight, the chick that's with Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know, nobody's mentioned with names, so I have no name.
Oh, no.
I think that's Nady. But she like pushes a dude off a platform and the camera's just on the ground and it's just a dummy flying at the. I laughed
Oh, I missed hard. That.
Like, I was like, oh my God, this is like Married with Children right now.
Great. The dummy fall. I love it.
Hey, Pearl Prophet's kept herself pretty together for an old lady.
Oh, the cyborg. Yes.
Yeah.
She's done.
Good for her.
She was so underutilized in this fucking movie. But and it would have been great no if, like,
point.
The buddy journey could have been, they just could have, that's the only thing I would change. There could have been one-liners, or could have been some, you know,
the only thing I would have changed is all of it.
You could tell they were on drugs because they were like, okay, so what most movies would normally do is he would take this girl to the CDC, but we're not going to do that. We're going to have the bad guy take her there. And you're like, wait, what? Can we just do the normal thing? Because a cyborg teaching a man who's lost his family to, like, have a heart again is kind of a compelling story if you could tell it, where this is just like, no, I'm just going to walk. You're going to walk with me to, I don't know who you are besides I tried to kill you last night, but why don't you hop along with me? We'll go to Atlanta. Like, they had no connection. There was no reason for him and Nady to go to Atlanta.
Well,
I did think like, what would have happened if they cast somebody else? Like, if they cast Ray Liotta in JCVD's part, it would be a totally different film. He'd be like, yo, R2-D2, let's go. We're going to fucking Atlanta. And then, you know, and it would have been, there would have been all those things like that they could have used, you know, like, oh my God, this broad, she drones on and like shit like that. I had a whole script written for another actor.
I will say, I would have loved to actually see how Chuck Norris would have done this movie, because he was the first one to be cast, that they wanted him for it. And would it have just been like him just being all stiff and like he normally is, or would it have been
for sure? More,
I don't know. Like,
did you see any of his movies from the 70s and 80s?
It's rough. I can tell you the fights would have been a little better.
Some about Chuck Norris is like, he was like a karate, you know, his body was beaten up from doing like competitive karate before he was even a movie star. So he was already kind of like an old man when he started doing acting.
He already had CTE. How's he gonna remember lines?
Yeah. Did you guys notice how silly a lot of the guns are? None of you guys are gun guys.
The quadruple barrel? The quadruple barrel was amazing.
Like I said, he got shot in the arm with it. You see blood, no wound, and he's he picked up and carried a woman.
It looked like he got hit with a BB. Like, it was like
it was also funny because she gets injured again. We don't know how she was injured, and I feel like there was this long talk on the set, like, well, we already stabbed her in the chest, and that was yesterday in the story of the movie. So we'll just not show. She'll just be unconscious. Let's not explain this. But you're like, if she was just unconscious in that scene, she was hit extremely hard.
Yes.
And then they go to those salt marshes, and then she disappears again. And you're like, Where the fuck does she keep going?
Didn't they show her in the bottom of a boat naked, and there was like a black dude next to her?
That was Cyborg and some other woman. It was just rant. And that
I'm
that,
so I confused.
Just, the 80s was
that was the best
because
it was nighttime, and it was Fender and the Cyborg, and he was, you know, Fender was saying something, and it was like overdubbed very poorly, so it was very muffled. And then literally no fade, no cut, no music, all of a sudden that entire crew, Fender, is in that factory, and he just like looks out the window and fucking Jean-Claude Van Damme is walking up, and he's like, who's that? Check it out. And you're like, what the fuck? You guys took a boat here. How did they beat you here? And how do you not remember remember the man who you literally stole his daughter that you believe him to be your daughter. You're like, he doesn't know.
But his eyes are that light because he's actually blind.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that guy has face blindness and he has no memory of this man. And then he saw that necklace and he's like, wait a second. Well, small world. Is that the guy?
A second. And also his pattern of speech. It's like, are you talking in another movie? Yeah, why are you talking like that?
Wild. I feel like for some reason they didn't want him to have an Australian accent. And you're like, well, JCVD has an accent. So just if it was just all accents, it just would have worked. It would be fine.
Only one interesting voice a movie.
Yep.
Per JCVD's contract.
Yep. I don't lose fights and I don't do competing accents. Right.
So Jason Rary asks, why have we never seen Jean-Claude Van Damme and Rob Van Damme together in a martial arts movie? And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jean-Claude Van Damme is not a fan of Rob Van Damme.
Oh, really?
Using the name. I think that was a thing back in the day. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, later.
I'm
just not, I think you're right.
I can see that.
But I remember that being a thing when I was like a kid.
Yeah, he didn't like it because they look similar and he's bigger. Like Rob Van Dam's bigger.
They look more of a badass.
Yeah. And also, let's be honest, he had JCVD had an ego. So I could totally imagine that he thinks that his pretend fighting is different.
Yes.
Is better than RVD's pretend fighting, even though RVD's actually doing it all. And JCVD is doing that kick like 17 times to get one good one.
And kicking somebody in the face while doing it.
and then partially blinding them.
As far as post-apocalyptic movies go, this is not in the Mount Rushmore.
No.
But I'll give it honorable mention. It doesn't look like
Jesus Christ. Look at that.
Come on.
They are so close.
That's amazing. Let me see.
How could you not believe that they're related?
They really should have capitalized on that. I mean, seriously, if I heard that JCVD was coming out at fucking WrestleMania with Jean-Claude Van Damme in pay-per-view, I'm calling DirecTV and buying the pay-per-view.
Jean Van Damme. I love it.
Although I can understand how Jean-Claude Van Damme would be intimidated. Rob Van Damme was, I mean, before he got old, was like a wild specimen of being like athleticism. That dude,
he was
like
an athletic god. It was insane.
Oh, dude. ECW? Like,
wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to go
him
to
and,
all the
him and ECW shows. Just I sent you guys that clip the other night. He's in that.
Yeah,
he's in that.
Yeah,
he was like the first guy that WWE poached. They were just like, "Well, we need this motherfucker."
Oh, like, yeah.
Tell Paul Heyman to go fuck himself because this guy's great. Yeah.
And he's cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, RVD is mad cool. Like, he'll smoke you out. He'll talk to fans at the hotel.
He got.
Like he'll go and talk to all the fans outside the hotel. Like he's just a badass, cool dude.
I think they took the championship away from him because he popped for weed.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
that was the dumbest fucking
Yeah,
but it's only made his legend grow stronger, right? It's only made his like brand.
RVD. Over JCVD.
Well,
I might have to agree with you on that.
RVD didn't make Time Cop, okay? Let's settle down.
RVD was in a Steven Seagal movie, though.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Yes, he is.
Right. How do I not know that?
Yeah, it's a bad one. Well, I mean, you know.
The later era.
Yeah, I can't remember what the name of it is, but he's
Sniper Special Ops.
That's it.
Oh, and that I was texting you guys about that. I watched like 15 minutes of that. Seagal's not even holding the gun right. He makes zero effort. He's like,
nope.
It's so crazy. He's just shooting wildly.
He's like talking and just kind of aiming it. Yeah. It's wild.
It's so bad. It's so bad. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most awesome, what do you give I'm sorry, Cyborg?
I need to look, at this. Look at that. Look at that movie. Holy shit.
Like, first of all, that is a Photoshop compilation 100%.
Oh, yeah. That is definitely somebody else's body.
That's not even his nose on his face. It's a different nose. Look, that is not this dude.
Can we, you know what, let's talk about this. Why is it that the canceled actors or the actors that supposedly can't get work because of whatever the whatever Hollywood's up to?
JCVD couldn't get work for, I'm sorry, Steven Seagal couldn't get work for a lot longer than he started hanging out with Putin, okay?
No, I know, but why is it that they're not just going and doing movies with Seagal and with a couple of these guys? Like, why aren't we seeing more of these films getting made in Bulgaria and Hungary?
Because they're making more money going on other TV shows saying, I got canceled.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, Chachi, you're just shitty. nobody liked you after Charles in Charge. It has nothing to do with your fucking politics, you weirdo.
There's like nowhere in the world that has like competent movie studios outside of really America. Like, if you're trying to make a big budget explosion, I mean, flick,
looking at RRR and I would say you could go to India and make some.
Well, no, because look at the Munsters. He did that on set in Hungary, and really made he got bang for his buck with all the set design and all the looks, but also that Expendables, the last one, I think that was JCVD and a couple, I think Arnold was in that one. They did a lot of that on set in Bulgaria. And my thinking is, if you actually got a somewhat decent director, like if all these directors are canceled or can't get movies anymore, like Uwe Boll, if you were to go and get one of these guys, like who's the comedian they took him out of the movie with Batista, and they put the girl in, they put the they replaced the guy comedian with it was a zombie movie on Netflix. He was like banging like 16-year-old.
Yeah,
D'Elia. They took him out.
Oh. Right?
Now, I'm not saying
Army of the Dead. It wasn't bad, actually. I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't like it wasn't like awful. It was just bad. You get what I'm saying?
But don't you think, like, D'Elia, if he went to Bulgaria, if you put people who are actually canceled but had talent around Seagal, just the story alone, just the reactions on YouTube alone would get the movie rented so many fucking times. Like, isn't someone capitalizing on this? Like, get OJ. OJ, remember, he could act. He was great in Naked Gun. Why isn't someone booking OJ, D'Elia, Seagal? Shoot it in fucking Bulgaria.
Holy
the
shit.
YouTube community would fucking go berserk.
Yeah, they would.
I mean, that could be an offshoot of the Expendables some way, shape, or form.
I mean, it could make hundreds of dollars.
James Woods, you get right, because wasn't James Woods like complaining he can't get work?
Kevin Sorbo, you get Hercules up in this.
You
bitch.
Get fucking you get Rob Schneider as the fucking comic relief. You get
Gina
fucking
Carano's the love interest.
I'm calling Ben Shapiro right now. We're gonna pitch this.
Dude, you gotta pitch this. No, what about what's his face? You could get what's his face?
Character.
He can actually act. Kevin Spacey. Now, you don't want any dudes, you know, 18 to 25 around, you know, getting growth.
I feel like there aren't any young boys on the set.
I feel like we turned a corner on Kevin Spacey, where it was like, now he's just extra, like, he's leaned into being the fucking weirdest person I've ever seen.
Well,
so hard.
Out of all the canceled
you people, guys,
Like you could watch, you could still watch Kevin Spacey movies because he always just plays a dick. So you're like, well, I guess, well, all right.
You're
I
gonna
guess.
Try mm-hmm. to tell me. You're gonna try to tell me. It's 10 p.m. You turn on Amazon Prime, and like the worst title pops up, like fucking. I don't know. I was trying to think of a bad action movie plot.
Cyborg. Fucking...
Damage effect. And it's starring. And you're like, what is this? And it's like Seagal, Spacey, D'Elia. You hit the information. It says $4.99 rental. Sold. You're watching it. No. You're lying.
I'm not paying
a dime.
OJ.
If it's on Amazon Prime for free, I'll watch it and laugh and be like, I wonder how many children are just like at the beginning of the movie just running out of the scenes from D'Elia and Spacey. But
Gerard Depardieu and Gina Carano.
Did Depardieu get canceled? Did something happen to?
No,
I can't remember what happened.
Like, I just love like that guy's another name. One.
That's a great
one.
Name.
He was like hanging with Putin at one point. I think I remember.
Jeez,
I'm pitching that sitcom too.
hanging with Mr. Putin.
Either that, or we put them all on an island like a Survivor as like a game show. But then whoever wins actually gets to be cast in regular Hollywood movies again.
Wow.
Because you know OJ would win because he's got that old man strength. I don't
OJ
know.
OJ would win because he would go to any lengths.
Yeah,
we
already
wants.
Know what levels he's willing to go to.
You put Rob Schneider on the island, and the one liners towards OJ are going to be so amazing.
Rob Schneider wouldn't last that long.
OJ would be eating Rob Schneider within 45 minutes of that island.
All right, Charlie, what do you give this movie on a scale of 1 to 10 of awesomeness?
Of a scale of awesomeness, I would say a 9.
Brian?
I have zero consistency with how I rate movies. So I'm just going to go with, let's go with a 7. This was a solid 7.
All right.
Howard?
This gets an 8 for me. I loved hating this.
I'm going to give it a 9. I fully back Jean-Claude as an action sci-fi star. It's not his fault. These guys used the shit from the other sets and fucking didn't have a really cohesive script and it had illogical plot points all throughout. As long as he's stabbing people in the head, doing the splits, doing spin kicks, getting crucified, saving himself from his own crucifixion on a mast of a boat. What was it even on? Like,
so awesome.
Yeah, he's harder than Jesus.
He got stronger as the day went on.
Sudden death. Yeah, the night. Oh yeah, you slept on a cross. How'd you sleep?
It's good rest. It's good for your back.
He woke up refreshed. It's like, man, you've got arrows in your wrist. How do you win?
I loved it. It was amazing.
I mentioned this just briefly earlier, but like his chin is so suspect in the beginning of every movie he's in. Like he gets hit once or twice and he is just drunk for the whole movie. And then the last 10 minutes, he's just like, bam, smelling salts. You know, like, I feel like the beats just need to change tempo a little bit, you know? Moving forward, nope. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh,
take my note.
Wait till you see Sudden Death. Are we doing Sudden Death next, or are we doing the prison one, Death Warrant?
I think we did Death Warrant, dude.
We did Lionheart.
Let's do Sudden Death.
All right, Sudden Death. We're back on the JCVD kick, and I'm so thankful that I'm not watching Seagal movies and I'm not watching fucking A24. I'm sorry. Seagal's catalog shits on the entire A24 film.
You didn't
catalog.
Like Goatman Steals a Baby?
Jesus Christ.
Ooh, lamb? Oh, boy.
All right, let's go to the chat. And thanks, everybody, from, Jason Rary says, skin him a rink. Y'all will be so confused and angry about the. I know, seriously.
Did you
Keith
guys watch that?
Loved it. And I was like, okay,
no,
Keith,
I saw
we'll
that.
Have
I watched Buckley. The trailer. I was like, I'm not watching this.
No, no, exactly. I'm like, what was Keith it. Thinking?
The trailer made me want to watch it so bad. I was like, this looks creepy as hell. I love this shit. I want to be scared of my own house. And then I watched it, and I was like, I don't fucking get it. I mean, I got it. It was just not fun.
There's no punching or splits in that. And I don't.
Yeah.
Not one split.
Yeah, let's watch the most American French something man in the world for sudden death. I think that's what we should do.
Hey, right. Like listen, Canadian. Everybody call whoever you know who know like you gotta Howard, you gotta bring something to the table with this. You gotta call Jericho and you gotta say, hey, I need RVD's number. We're gonna watch Sudden Death with RVD.
Wow.
Somebody's got to pull a favor. Like, you know, Tommy Dreamer, Brian, call Tommy and be like, how do I get RVD?
I will.
There's
I'm
literally
start working
one
on the
degree
second
of
we hang
separation
up.
Between us, between RVD and us. There's literally one degree.
Yeah, I have two or three names too, I think I could hit up.
Yeah, somebody's got to get RVD to watch Sudden Death and come on the podcast high as hell. Watch it high as hell.
I don't know if he does then come on, sweet anymore.
Oh, if RVD
well, what's
doesn't
even real?
Weed anymore, I'll be
what's right. even real in this world? If Rob Van Dam is weed? Jesus,
holy crap!
Hate number 14, Death Warrant. We definitely watched it.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Holy
it was
shit!
16 episodes ago.
Yeah,
more than
that's why we don't remember.
So wait, so then what's the other one? Oh, wait, it's Rob.
We've seen so many.
They're all the same movie. They just take place in a slightly different warehouse.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
We have to watch either Maximum Risk,
Trailers.
Nowhere to Run, or the one with Rodman.
Did we ever see Hard Target, by the way?
Holy
we did Hard Target.
Hold on, I'm reading this for Sudden Death. If former fireman takes on a group of terrorists holding the vice president and others hostage during the seventh game of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Die Hard. It's like a weird Die Hard.
It's Die Hard in the New Haven Coliseum.
I hope other people from Connecticut are listening to this because that's fucking
yeah,
hilarious.
Shout out to the Nighthawks.
This is amazing.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll be back with another episode next week. We'll do a Sudden Death with JCVD. Thanks, everybody, from Patreon. And, have a great night. Well, I guess we're watching the trailer from Sudden Death before we go. So,
as we get ready for the right.
We don't have to.
Oh, no. Let it ride.
Look at it.
There's no question. It just sends a chill up your spine, Paul.
I mean, no spoilers, but you know a Zamboni was used to kill somebody.
The President of the United States is here this evening. Don't leave your seats.
Powers boot.
Of course, they had a. We got to hear that song.
Look too good.
911 emergency services.
I'm calling you from the Civic Arena.
The vice president is being held hostage in the owner's box. And they've got my daughter too.
What is your objective?
$1,700,000,000. We're still evaluating the situation.
Look at the numbers.
A lot of it.
Give it to him. Do not try any kind of rescue. Do you
how
understand?
How much money?
If you're not going to pay,
$1,700,000,000.
When the game ends, that's. That's oddly large and specific.
Tonight, 17,000
is a Columbia House debt. He's going to pay off.
Enough bombs have been planted.
Too many free CDs. All the
but only one of them knows it.
I'm going to try to stop you.
I know where the bombs are, so I know where you're going.
Then come and get me.
No, he's running the mascot! Oh, my gosh.
Than anyone. I said, oh, so you got to save his daughter?
Jean-Claude is Puck Ibanez. Sudden death.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Stop
Powers
it.
Powers boost. Just
stop. Well, we just saw it.
That's the whole movie right there.
Oh.
The scoreboard said sudden death on it.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's gonna
that
be
legit
amazing.
Has me pumped right now.
Yeah.
I might watch it tonight.
I might force my child to watch it right now.
Jesus.
But come on, baby. Let's watch a movie. No, no more Bluey. We're watching Sudden Death now.
Yep.
All right, guys. It's a date.
All right.
Week.
Sudden death.
Everybody do what you can do. Call RVD.
I'm calling
the heads up.
I got two people that I can call that might be able to work on that. So
all right.
I will get on that real soon.
Thanks. See you later.
Wild.
Just a real quick outro today. We appreciate you listening. Let us know what movies you want to see us or hear us watch. If you did watch this on YouTube, like, subscribe, hit the bell, and then go subscribe at gasdigital.com. Check out the new site. Let us know what you think. JostTheShow@gmail.com. And let us know, do you want more JCVD or fuck no? You're getting more even if you don't.
That's right. They don't really have a choice.
And you got another Steven Seagal coming at you too. I apologize in advance.
Patriot, but not the one you know.
Exactly. Thank you to Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code JOSTA and you'll save 20% off plus free shipping. Trim your nose, trim your ears, trim your balls, trim your taint, whatever you got to trim. Just do it up. You know, get it high and tight. You know, JCVD doesn't have hippie dick.
That dude's hairless like a baby seal.
He's manscaping it down, then he's waxing it off, right?
I would imagine. You can't throw kicks like that unless you're aerodynamic, you know?
That's right. You can throw kicks like that when you're listening to the new Sanguasuga Bog. Let me tell you, go get it right now at centurymedia.store. Big thanks to Century Media Records. And you can also pre-order the new Jesus piece over there and the new Frozen Soul Glacial Domination. Don't forget, Frozen Soul will be at Milwaukee Metal Fest, Saturday, May 27th. So thank you to Century Media for sponsoring the festival and sponsoring the podcast today. Also, thank you to Metal Blade Records. Come meet Brian Slagle at Milwaukee Metal Fest up in the rooftop bar on Saturday, May 27th. Get a copy of his new book signed. And make sure you get a copy of the new Cattle Decapitation at metalblade.com/cattledecapitation, as well as pre-order the new Death Ray Vision at metalblade.com/deathraysvision. Last but not least, want to thank Monarch Heavy, monarchheavy.com, promo code 666, and then martyrstore.net for all your meet and greets. patreon.com/josta. What else can we plug?
gasdigital.com. use promo code josta for
plug
some
it again
trial.
Fuck it.
Catch up on over 600 episodes of the show.
Hell yeah, we got a lot more of these How Awesome Is This up there right now under the bonus content page. So if you like what you hear, go check it out. And again, if you're listening on iTunes, 5-star review, please. If you're watching on YouTube, like, subscribe, hit the bell. All right, we'll be back with Dave Lombardo. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
All right, cool.
Okay. Good deal. And then so...
Produced by Brian McKay. Executive producers Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, AJ Lewis, Garrett Keeping, Dan Smith, Nick Torito, JJ Hernandez, Joe Bartovic, Jason Jarvis, Chris Larice, Alex Smolin, Todd McKee, John Blewett, Richard Miller, Kyle Marg, Nate Leffingwell, Morgan Costner, Mark Tagg, Zappagore Waikato, Niall Scollard, Kathy D'Ambrosio, Justin Steven, Jack Flanders, the Pit Commander, Andy Wilson, Jeffrey Kuhn, Kimo Humalamaki, Jonathan Metis, Brandon Cooper, Matthew Jankowskis, Jamie Kutcher, Ryan Underkoffler, Matt West, Ryan Maurice, Chad Green, Dallas Hendricks, Jacob Ahrensberg, Kenneth Moore, Kona Butterflies, Stephen Helm, Richard McIntosh, Jeff Stevenson, Ryan Williams, Larry Tooley, Dallas Bolin, Brian St. Nathan Rex Madrid, Cameron Hendricks, Scandalous Official, Joe Motson, Let's Talk Resident Evil, Andrew Chase, Guy on the Couch, Chris Winchester, Antonio Reyes, Joe Otson, Dustin Stone, Lee Walker, Ryan Levson, John Henkes, Robert Bushaw, Troy Seal, Mark Horror Armenta, Jay Liberston, Nick Fowler, Mike Horgan, Emma Horgan, Arnarok, Patrick King, Oscar Brummett, Stacy Steineke, Fernando Somoza, Patrick O'Brien, Dominique Zimmer, Ryan Sanders, Lara Snyder, Daniel Burt, Milwaukee Metal Sausage, Adam Boss.